This is the Word and the Walk podcast, pursuing faithfulness to Christ while being grounded in biblical truth.
All right, well, Josh Kelso here with Tom and Tyler, and we are still continuing to work through the doctrines of grace on the biblical convictions of Gilbert Bible Church. And if you haven't heard our explanation of what our biblical convictions are, I encourage you to go back to our podcast on that topic and listen to that. That'll help bring some clarification as to why we have these biblical convictions at Gilbert Bible Church, how they function, how we view them, and hold to them. And we have been working through our convictions. Conviction number three, if you look at our website, is the doctrines of grace, what we believe Scripture teaches about salvation, that salvation belongs to the Lord, as Psalm 3:8 says, and that salvation is found in God and therefore is uniquely His to give. And Tyler talked last time as we were looking at the Son's atoning death, how the summary of the Son's atoning death and really the doctrines of grace is that this, God saves sinners. And today we're going to be talking about what's considered the fourth point of the doctrines of grace, and that is that God's grace is irresistible. Through the power of the Spirit, God regenerates with His own power by His own grace. And so what we're going to talk about in this segment is the Spirit's regenerating grace and power that He exerts toward the sinner to bring that sinner out of spiritual death, out of being under condemnation, out of deserving God's wrath, into a place of newness of life, becoming alive where they were once spiritually dead. Tom, you want to talk about that a little bit more and what it means for the Spirit to produce a regenerating work in a sinner by God's grace?
The easiest way to sum it up is the old has passed away and the new has come. Mm. And that's the regenerating work of what Jesus has accomplished. Mm-hmm. By His grace, the old man is dead.
Mm. Yeah.
We have the ability to live in a way that's pleasing to Him because of His grace. That is how we strive on.
Yeah, I love that. I love the verbiage Scripture use. You're dead in your transgressions and sins, and your old man is put to death. So your dead man is put to death,
yeah.
And you're granted life that was not yours in Christ by His grace.
Yeah, it's two verses that come to mind. One is 2 Corinthians 5:17, mm-hmm. that therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Mm-hmm. That's a promise.
Yeah.
You are a new creature, and the old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And what's interesting, as Paul is talking to the Ephesian church in Ephesians 4:20, he says, you did not learn Christ in this way. When we are a new creature, we are just putting on new behaviors. Mm. This is just part of the you come to salvation 2.0 model.
Mm-hmm.
And as we've already talked about progressive sanctification in previous podcast, but for the believer, we now are growing to look more and more by His grace like our Savior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tyler, when thinking about the regenerating work of God through the gospel in the believer's life, would love to hear, what do you find encouraging about that? If somebody was wanting to understand this idea of regeneration or God's grace bringing the sinner from death to life, what kind of sticks out in your mind? What are some key passages or key ideas that you'd want to draw them to?
Mm. Yeah. This one is interesting because I do think it is just right in line with all of the others that we've looked at so far,
mm-hmm.
And the one we're going to look at next.
Mm-hmm.
It is really, really helpful to remember how big my problem is,
mm-hmm.
how big my sin problem is. And Ephesians says we were dead in our transgressions and sin. You just taught recently through John 3,
mm-hmm.
Where Nicodemus hears shockingly how big his problem is. Mm-hmm. He needs to be born again. How can that be? Well, he can't do it himself. Mm-hmm. That's obvious. It's not a physical rebirth that he needs. That's obvious.
Yep.
There are several passages that I think emphasize the triunity of the Godhead in salvation. That the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are all working together to save sinners.
Mm-hmm.
The one that pops out in my mind is 1 Peter 1, 1 through 2. Just the last couple words of verse 1. You who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. That there are other passages that are just like that just emphasize the Godhead. God himself saves sinners. I think this is another one of those topics that just brings God glory. It should humble us.
Mm-hmm.
We should be humbled before we even get to this passage,
to
this topic. Mm. But it definitely glorifies God.
You know, Tyler, you mentioned Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm just saying this for the benefit of those that might listen to this podcast. If you don't make a practice of memorizing Scripture, you should. And if you have a desire to memorize Scripture, Ephesians 2:8 is a verse that believers should memorize.
Mm-hmm.
It is good for the soul to recall what God has done. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not as a result of work, so that no one can boast. God's grace is irresistible, and you have been saved through faith. You didn't do anything.
That's right.
God did it all, and his grace is irresistible.
Titus,
go for it, Tyler.
No, I was going to just say Titus 3 says the same, something really similar too.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 5, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Yeah.
Sorry to cut you off there, Tom.
No, I just, I was going to go just kind of on a personal note. The irresistible grace of God, I am sure, I know for myself, I've had loved ones that have passed away that I've shared the gospel with that didn't respond to the gospel.
Mm.
And the comfort of knowing that God's grace is irresistible, I can just trust God with that.
Mm.
And I know we all, I almost everybody I can think of has people they love in their life that have not come to saving faith.
Mm-hmm.
And the comfort of knowing that God's grace is irresistible.
Mm.
That, it's not that I wish I could have just proclaimed the gospel one more time.
Mm-hmm.
If I just would have said this, no. God's grace, as long as I've been faithful, I can just trust God's grace.
Yeah.
It's irresistible.
Yeah. And Tom, I just for clarity for those listening, because I think many, when they think about loved ones dying who never made a profession of faith, where they want to find their primary comfort is God's a loving God, God's a forgiving God. I'm sure they're with him. And that's not what I've heard you find comfort in. And in the statement that you just made, I don't believe that's what you're saying, that that's where the comfort is.
It's actually,
if God had intended to save them, he would have. And so in their unbelief, it's not because God was deficient. It was the testimony of the defiance of their heart.
And at the same time that I've been faithful to proclaim the gospel at the opportunities I had, I can trust this.
You have a clear conscience before the Lord. Not if I had just had a better argument or if I had just told him one more time or if I had just prayed a little harder or believed a little more, then the Lord might have saved them.
I think many people might have the thought, oh, I wish I would have had one more opportunity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, be faithful with the opportunities God gives you.
Yep. I know in our last podcast, when we were talking about the atoning work of Christ, Tom, you talked about how many people seem to struggle with that because of their own personal experience. And you brought up, you know, I believed, I repented, I placed my faith in Jesus. I said the prayer, walked down the aisle, and, you know, whatever the event was, and people's personal experience oftentimes can inform their thinking, or they allow their perception of their personal experience to inform their thinking more than God's word. And what I love about this reality is, Tyler, as you mentioned in John 3, when Jesus is interacting with Nicodemus, who's Jesus calls him the teacher of Israel. You know, if anyone had the outward appearance, the heritage, the credentials, the look, the sound, it was Nicodemus. And what Nicodemus needed most to see the kingdom was something external happening to him, to be regenerated, to be reborn, rebirthed, literally. And I love how God's word perfectly, specifically, articulately communicates God is the one who saves. God grants salvation. And man has a responsibility to repent, to believe, to turn away from that old manner of life and to Christ, to pick up their cross daily and follow after Christ after denying themselves. And for some, they view that as an inconsistency that can't be reconciled, and yet God presents it in his word as a perfect complement. And Ephesians 2, I think, is so clear. As you were talking about verses 8 and 9, Tom, what leads up to that, starting in verse 1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. That's the first thing we talked about, the depravity of man. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, it was a nature problem. Our nature, our sinfulness, our disposition was to sin. We were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, it doesn't say, but you heard. But somebody shared the gospel with you just right, and then you responded. It doesn't say that. It says, but God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive. That's what we're talking about right now. That's the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, to bring us to newness, to regenerate us, give us new life, bring us from death to life. Together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Who is salvation all about? God getting the glory. Not look what I did. I finally got my act together. I finally came to my senses. No, I was dead. I was helpless. God saved me. God brought me to life. And then what you referenced, Tom, which I think is absolutely so, so powerful, so important to know, so important to have on your mind, on the tip of your tongue, by grace you have been saved through faith. You have to believe.
You have to believe.
But where does that belief come? Not even that's of yourself, but a gift of God. so that we have nothing to boast, as Tyler talked about in our last session again, 1 Corinthians 1, let he who boasts boast in the Lord.
Yeah.
That's where our boasting comes. And if we actually, if our salvation was dependent upon us, we would have something to boast in. But it's ultimately not. It's about the Lord. Got me all riled up.
It's amazing. And it's not a faith that you produce. It is a faith that by God's grace we receive.
So if this is a work of God, I want to maybe transition and tie this reality of the regenerating work of the Spirit to the practical Christian living. If it's a work of God that he takes us from spiritual death to spiritual life, and now we have fellowship with God, we're reconciled to God, we're made alive, why do we sin? And how do we not sin as much as we do now in light of this newness of life?
Yeah, it's just progressive, our sanctification to the day we die and the day of glorification. It keeps us dependent on the Lord.
Yeah.
We can't do this on our own.
Yeah.
And he's promised to give us the grace.
That's right.
To do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Romans 6 is particularly helpful in understanding the fact that we were slaves to sin, and what God has done in the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit has freed us from the bondage and slavery to sin. And yet we still live in this flesh, and we still go back to, at times, acting like we are still slaves to sin. There will be a day where we no longer sin, when we see Christ and we're like him. But as you talked about, Tom, part of God's wisdom is that there is this period of time before ultimate glory, where we are being conformed more and more progressively into the likeness of our Savior Jesus, and where before we could only sin in our depravity, now we have this mixed condition where we still sin, but we are not enslaved to it. We have the capacity to not sin. And a day is coming where we again will be in an unmixed condition like we were in our depravity, where all we did was sin, except it'll be the opposite.
Yeah.
All we will do is not sin. But that day's not yet. And so we keep fighting. We'll actually talk about this more in our next conviction regarding sanctification and our role in spiritual growth. But
I know we've talked about this in previous podcasts. But Josh, something you said about this fight, and it's by grace that we continue to fight. And I just think it's helpful for those that are listening to what are the means of God's grace? God's word, absolutely, being God's word, being prayer. Be around other believers. Be engaged with other like-minded believers. That's the church. If you're a casual observer to Christianity, you're missing great means of grace. God lavishes us with his grace by various means. And sometimes he lavishes us in grace even by allowing us to go through trials, to go through hardship. It's a means of grace.
Absolutely.
So enjoy however the Lord is just pouring grace out on you, because that is what gives us the strength to just keep on keeping on.
Yeah. Amen. Any final thoughts on your side, Tyler?
No. Those things just are. God alone saves.
Mm-hmm.
And he does call us to walk according to his Spirit.
Yeah.
And he keeps us.
And he sustains us in the midst of that. And he gives grace over and over again in that walk.
Yep. It's great. Tom, that was a good teaser to our next podcast that we plan to do, which is the believer's persevering pursuit of Christ, in that he sustains us under his grace. And so we've seen that the sinner's life is totaled. We are depraved, dead, in desperate need of something outside of ourselves. We've seen that the Father before the foundations of time, predestined us according to his love and his electing will. He made a way through his son's atoning death to pay for our sin, the specific sins of every believer who would believe for all time. That is applied to us through the Spirit as we are brought from spiritual death to life. And then next time, as we wrap this up, we're going to look at what the Lord does in keeping those whom he's saved till the end. Thanks for listening. Hope this was helpful. Hopefully this was an encouragement to your heart and leads you to greater thankfulness and worship of our great God.
Amen. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Word and the Walk podcast. The Word and the Walk podcast is a ministry of Gilbert Bible Church. For more information, please visit our website at gilbertbible.com.